Good evening and welcome into God's house where we can hear the word of God and it can be life-changing and transforming to us. And I've got a couple testimonies I'm going to share. First, I want to let you all know that before I came here tonight that I got a call from Crystal that Connie is very critical and you know she's very, very ill and needs prayer. And Sandra Zavala also, just moments ago, asked, please, please pray for me, pray for healing. So just in Jesus' name, and when you think of Connie and you think of Sandra, please, please pray for them because we can put ourselves in that place very easily. And I wanted to also make the announcement that our ladies' Bible study, our monthly Bible study, is going to be at Olive Garden this time and on Cicero on Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the side room to the left. As you go in Olive Garden, it's right to the left. And the topic is going to be fear. Remember, I'm doing on managing and controlling our emotions. And last time we did anger, and we just had a wonderful, wonderful discussion and everything. And this time we're going to do the emotion of fear. And one of the things I titled it, Fear You Don't Own Me. And many, many times the things that we fear are only the lies of the enemy. We fear because the enemy has lied to us about something. And, you know, I wanted to share tonight that, you know, I'd been talking about restored vision this year, how God wants to restore our vision. That, and here's the situation. You know, Jesus has been restoring the eyes of the blind for a very long time, has he not? Jesus has been healing blinded eyes for a very long time. And you know what? He still is today, whether it's physical eyes or whether it's spiritual eyes. And, you know, we don't need, you know, I've got Blue Cross insurance. And you know how I like to put this? Blue Cross insurance pays the bill. But that doesn't help me very little. I need Old Rugged Cross assurance. That's my policy. That's my provider. Jesus provided it all. So I don't owe any copays. He paid it all. He took the stripes for my healing. And so, you know, Blue Cross is great to pay the bills, but Blue Cross can't heal you. But Old Rugged Cross, thank you, Jesus, for that. And I believe that this is a year that God is going to restore spiritual enemy and spiritual vision so that we can clearly see the traps of the enemy. If you do not see a trap ahead of you, you are likely to fall into that trap. And the enemy sets traps for us. He watches us and he very strategically sets traps for us. And so God, I believe, is going to let us see the things that are hidden. And people with excellent vision see things that other people do not. They don't have blurred vision. They have very clear vision. They're able to know what is going on around them. And what people with spiritual vision see is how things, you look at things and you see something with the natural eye, but with spiritual vision, you see far beyond that. You know, here's how I would like to put this. If you're looking at a person and you see a sick person with your natural eye, am I right? But if you have spiritual vision, you see beyond that, you see that person healed. Right? You see that person restored and in full health and completely made whole. You know, you might see with your physical eye, and if you only see with your physical eyes, you'll be discouraged. You might see someone addicted to drugs. You might see someone on the street and pass them, and you might say that this person is addicted to drugs. But people with spiritual vision and the Holy Spirit, they see that person with a ministry to the drug addicts. They see that person healed, restored, and blessing other people. So we need to ask God to give us clear vision and give us dreams. You know, when I did the dream conference, one of the things that I have always heard all of my life is pursue your dreams, go for your dreams. And I told the audience that day, do not pursue your dreams. That will get you nowhere. Pursue the giver of the dreams. Take it to Jesus because he's the one who gave the dream and he is the giver of the dream and he is the fulfiller of the dream also. So pursue the one who gives the dreams. Don't stop pursuing foolish dreams. Would you admit that we have pursued some very foolish dreams in our lives. And I'm so thankful that God did not make my foolish dreams come true. I can remember my father telling me that I couldn't go out with a certain young man. And I was just like, you just don't understand. You just don't get it. And I am so thankful that God intervened and did not allow that dream to be fulfilled, because that young man hung himself in the Cook County Jail. I'm just saying, God, many times does not give us what we want. He gives us what we need if we trust him. And he will give us things in his perfect timing. You know, we don't want to get ahead of God either, because, you know, I remember, and I've shared this before, Ken and I were talking about the other day, my brother and I were talking about this, and I remember him in a play years ago at Bridgeview Church of God. He was 3 years old, and he had one part, and it was to shout out, God's clock. And you know what? That stuck with me. Years later, when I was 50-something, I remembered his part that said, God's clock. I don't work off of the clock. God has plenty of time. We look at that clock and say, God, you're a little bit late if you're ever going to do something. And he's like, no, tell that to Abraham, who had a child at 100. No, God is not late. God's timing is perfection. He doesn't need AAA batteries. That's not the kind of clock he works off of. He works off of an eternal clock. And so God is going to do things in your life if you trust him and don't try to make it happen. And we are seeing miracles like you would not believe. So I'm going to share a testimony with you that happened just last night. Well, I'm on the clock all the time. Everybody knows that. And about 1:30 in the morning, I got a call from someone very, very distraught. But I knew this person was not even in our country right now. And I knew that something had to have happened. And sure enough, the person said, I need you now. Can I call? And I said, absolutely. And so as I was talking to this person, I felt the Holy Spirit say, whatever's about, now here's the thing I say, and you know I say this, in any crisis situation, the very first words that you speak out of your mouth set the tone for how that thing's going to turn out. It absolutely does. You better watch what you say in a crisis situation. You don't come upon Frida laying on the floor and go, she's dying. She's going to die. You go, you will live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. Jesus Christ is your healer. By his stripes, you're right. You know what? We have to watch what comes out of our mouth in a crisis situation. And so I knew the Holy Spirit's prompting said, be very careful what you say, because I want you to speak with authority. And here's what he whispered in my ear that I loved. It was nighttime. It was in the middle of the night. And the Holy Spirit said, weeping endures for the night. Joy comes in the morning. And at 6:00 this morning, I got the call that this had been resolved. I had to speak truth. I had to speak tough truth, but with great, great love. And I had to share with them some things, the practical things that these people needed to do. And it's all done. And it's turning out better than I could have ever hoped or ever planned, because of God and because of what comes out of our mouth. Your words are either poison or they are medicine. There's no in between. Your words are poison or they are medicine. They are medicine for you and for others. So I just wanted to share that with you, that so many things were going on last night when we had the Spanish service. You know, one of the things that it was, you know, I couldn't heal a fly. I don't have any stripes on my back. But I was asked to close out the service last night and to share a second. And I prayed and just prayed that God would heal everyone, that everyone would experience a healing miracle. And as I said, healing, you can never buy any of the gifts from God. They are not for sale. They are available to you, but you can access those gifts through your obedience. People say, well, if I can't buy them and they're free. No. If there's a check for you at the bank, you've got to do something to agree with your blessing. Am I right? You've got to take some action that says, I agree with that. Or you can just leave the blessing right where it's at. But it's such a cool thing, because a lady came up, and I do not speak Spanish. My dear daughter here does, but I do not. And a lady came up to the front and told Pastor Gil that she was healed as I closed in prayer. And this was a thought that came to me today. Anytime, any place, in the beginning, in the middle, at the end, God is always on time. He's never too late. Anytime you're ready to receive it, God's ready to release that healing to you. He's ready to release your blessing when you get ready to receive it. So I wanted to begin the service by sharing that tonight, that God is truly moving and doing so much. And of course, we're going to talk about a lot of things on Wednesday at Olive Garden that I don't want to talk about right now. But fear you don't own me is something that's very important. You don't fear the enemy. Okay, so tonight I'm going to revisit a message I did many years ago, and I wanted to title it Sister Wives because it's about Leah and Rachel, because I was at my younger sister's home one time in Kansas City, and Pastor Bill and I were in the front room, and some girls were watching a show called Sister Wives that I had never really thought about at all. I don't watch television at all. And I walked in the front room, and I literally wanted to beat the TV up and run through it and go, no, no, no. And so I want to say, when we talk about Leah and Rachel being two wives of Jacob, there's two things about the Word of God. When you study the Word of God, there are things in the Word of God that are information. They're informative. And then there's things that are instructive, okay? When it says that they had two wives, that doesn't mean for you to get yourself two wives, two husbands. That doesn't mean God agrees with that. That's information. That's informational. But instruction is another thing. So we're going to talk about loving Leah tonight. And this always blessed me. I guess I wanted to do, you know what, I'm not going to do the review from last week, you know, just because of time. But I just loved that we talked about Peter last week. And in the close of it, one of the things that I felt that God wanted me to share with everybody was when the women were at the, you know, Jesus called Peter by the Sea of Galilee. You remember that, right? They had already had a meeting with Jesus all day long, him and Andrew. But later, Jesus came by the Sea of Galilee, and he stopped by, and he called them, and he said, follow me. Now, Galilee was significant because when the ladies went to the tomb and the stone had been rolled away and the angel said, go tell your disciples and Peter, go on ahead to Galilee. And here's the thing. If Jesus had not said, Peter, go tell Peter, Peter would have thought, I'm not a disciple. The last time I saw Jesus, I denied him. I denied him. But Jesus had forethought. And he told them, he said, make sure you tell Peter he's invited too. Make sure you tell him. And I thought it was so cool because Jesus called him by the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus said, come back to Galilee. Sometimes we've got to go back to that place, don't we? We've got to go back to Galilee. And we got to have a do-over. And God will give us that do-over. He's so gracious. He's so merciful. He's so loving and kind. And sure enough, Peter got the do-over. And the second thing that I loved so much about our teaching last week that God had revealed to me was that, you know, Peter had told Jesus, I'll never, never, never deny you. No, I will not deny you. I'll go to prison. I'll die for you. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me. And Jesus told him four things. He said, Satan wants you. So I'm telling you tonight, Satan wants you. Satan wants to sift you, which means he wants to beat you up. And he told Peter, Satan wants to beat you up. The second thing he said, I'm praying for you. I prayed for you. I want to tell you, Satan wants to beat you up, but Jesus is praying for you, sitting at the right hand of the Father. The third thing he told him is, you will fall. You will deny me. But then the fourth thing he said, but Peter, you will also be restored. You will also be restored. And when you do, you're responsible for some other people. And I thought that was just so super cool that Jesus told him what was going to happen and that he was indeed going to not deny him. And I thought how cool that Jesus, basically the way I look at it is, Peter denied but Jesus died. Peter denied but Jesus died. How awesome is that, that Jesus would die and welcome us back in. So tonight we're going to talk about someone who felt unlovely, who felt unlovable. She was second. For all practical purposes, all of her life, she wasn't the pretty one. She wasn't the one that everybody wanted to date. She was second best as far as she felt and she concerned. She was one of the wives, Leah, of Jacob the patriarch. But I believe her story needs to be told because I think that we can learn many lessons from her. Because I shared also one time when I was teaching this, that as a child, we used to sit around us kids and watch the Miss America pageant and just love, who do you pick, Laurie? Who do you pick, Ken? Who are you picking for the Miss America to do the win, to be the winner? And as I grew older and I came to Christ, I realized that I hate the Miss America pageant for this reason. Because only one person gets the crown. That's not how it works in God's kingdom. That's why every Christmas we crown a queen. Because I want everybody to know that you are royalty. And that someday Jesus is going to give us a crown. And no one is left out. And no one is second. No one is not chosen. No one is considered unlovely or someone that cannot be used. So sadly, what we're talking about tonight is, and God does not endorse polygamy at all. Some people do even today, but I say it like this, two wives are one too many. I don't know how the guy even afforded that, but two wives are one too many, and same with husbands. But I want to say something about God using women in his kingdom. You know, because, you know, you all know by now that Aunt Beth Moore got attacked online, and they were saying, go home. You need to go home. Well, tell that to Jesus, because he's been using women since the garden. He's been using women. And I think it's so cool that there are two books in the Bible named after women. One is Ruth and one is Esther. And Ruth was a Gentile and Esther was a Jew, which the lesson here is Jesus uses Jews and Gentiles alike, and he does use women. Sorry. And that's just the way it is. But I think that most people can relate, most women, most men, anyone can relate to Leah a lot more than Rachel. Not many of us look in the mirror and go, I am all that. I really am. I'm all that. No, we are critical on ourselves, and for this reason, because the enemy makes sure he points out any weakness, anything that he thinks you, any lie he thinks you will believe. And so Leah did not feel so good about herself, but it's not going to get any better. And so we know that Jacob had deceived his father by pretending to be his brother. We know that he's now on the lam, he's on the run, and he's going to his mother's brother's house. And Genesis 29:10 says, and it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban near his mother's brother. Now, commentaries will all tell you to roll that stone away was like a 5 or 6 man thing, and Jacob rolled it away. Let me tell you, when he saw Rachel, he's like, I got this. I got this. The stone will be rolled away. I'm going to take care of this. And verse 11, right after verse 10, says this, and Jacob kissed Rachel, which was customary, saw her, and now first he saw her, now he kissed her. This was technically our first kiss. And he was overcome, the Bible says, with emotion, and he wept. Here's his beautiful cousin, Rachel. Now, Laban, we know, was glad to see Jacob because he needed help on the ranch, okay? And so he seen something else. But he talked to Jacob, what can I do for you? And the Bible says in verse 16, and Laban had two daughters. There's a problem here already. Two daughters. The name of the older one was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. And the Bible says, verse 17, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now, a lot of commentators will say the tender-eyed means she had weak vision. That's not what it means. What it actually means is Leah had beautiful eyes, but Rachel was beautiful in every way. How would you like someone to say, you have beautiful eyes, but oh my goodness, her. And, you know, I think you remember me telling a story about the girl that is my hairdresser, and she is a beautiful Greek girl, and she was at the wedding, and people were coming up and saying, are you the cousin of Katja? Are you her cousin? And she's gorgeous. And she confessed to me later, you know, I don't know why that hurt me, but it hurt me. And I said, because they were They were careless with their words. They were careless with their words. They were not kind with their words. And so he had two daughters, and Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And by the way, the word beautiful in the Greek in Hebrew means unusually beautiful. And verse 18 says, and Jacob loved Rachel. Here's your love at first sight. And he said to Laban, I will serve you 7 years for your daughter Rachel, for your younger daughter. So Jacob did not get any mixed messages here, by the way. He didn't think that, you know, Laban didn't get any mixed messages, like thinking, well, maybe he meant Leah. No, Leah and Rachel are two different names, completely. And so I want to say this tonight. Leah was disenfranchised, if I will. She never had a chance. She wasn't the first one that Jacob met. You know, sometimes you meet somebody and you've already, it's a done deal. You know, and they're not willing. They're not willing to wait for God to show them. They're just like, hey, I want that one. I want this. And that can get you in trouble. But Leah never had a chance because it was Rachel that he saw first. It reminded me of the man at the pool of Bethesda that needed healing. And he said, someone always is ahead of me. It's always someone else that gets their miracle. Always. That nobody's going to ever notice me but Jesus. But then Jesus came. And he walked right up to him. And later, the Bible clearly says he did not know who Jesus was. But Jesus knew who he was. And he can, and this shows me, if I can't get to Jesus and I don't even know Jesus, Jesus knows me and Jesus will get to me. Jesus will come to me. And he's doing that in the Muslim community, is he not? With dreams and visions. And it's happening all over the world right now. But Rachel had the advantage, and Laban agreed to let Jacob work for Rachel. And here's the deal. The Bible means what it says and says what it means and says nothing mean. And here is Laban. He agreed to let Jacob work for Rachel, but Jacob had deceived. And now, if the Bible's true, and it is, for whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. In the same way, almost in the same exact way. I'll tell you a very, very brief story. Many, many years ago, when I was very young, and my dad was a pastor here, there was a young man, has been in our congregation forever, and you know, and he has autism. And especially back in his younger days, he would cry out, just randomly cry out. And there was a man in our congregation who would rebuke him. Shut that kid up. Shut him up. And he would go to my dad, and my dad would say, calm down, mister. Calm down. This is a child with special, but I can't hear the word. And he would rebuke him. And you know that that's our very own Stephen. And Stephen has now grown up. He's in his 30s. And one day, someone I know was working in a doctor's office. In a doctor's office. As a records person. And they called me up. And they said, what was the name of that young man that used to, that was the child that had autism? And I said, his name's Stephen. And she said, was it so-and-so who always harassed him? And I said, yes, it was. She was blown away. She said, he was in our office today. He has a son that he named Stephen, and he has autism. You do not want to mistreat God's little lambs. You do not. You do not want to do that. We need to keep that in mind. And so Laban said to Jacob, you know, we'll do this. And so Jacob kept his part of the bargain. He's making progress. And Laban gathered together all the men and made a feast. And he gave Jacob Leah by deception. And Jacob was hot. He was so angry. It came to pass in the morning that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went into her. And the girls were veiled, and Jacob had deceived, and now he's getting deceived, and he was very upset. And then he went to Laban and confronted him, and he had to work another 7 years so that he could get Rachel. But when the Bible says, in verse 31, it says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated
and that's not really hated. She was less loved is what that translation means. When the Lord saw that Leah was less loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel remained barren. God sees when others do you wrong, and God knows how to bless you in spite of how others treat you, in spite of all false accusations I've ever experienced, in spite of all the things that have happened in life to you and to me. God has always come through and vindicated. The truth has always come to life. The cream always rises to the top. And God will take care of you. And God knows how to bless you. He knows your address. People ask me, why don't you buy lottery tickets? God knows my address. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I am not concerned about that at all. But Leah was less loved. But in my opinion, if you're less loved, you might as well be hated, right? That's how you feel. But to add insult to injury, Jacob would also someday come to even favor the children of Rachel. And I want to say something, and I want you to never forget this. It was not wrong for Jacob to love Rachel. It wasn't wrong. That's not what I'm saying. It wasn't wrong who he loved. It was wrong who he didn't love. You know, you may say, well, I love Frida, and not so much Janice. Not so much. It's not who you love. That's not what God's saying. It's who you exclude. It's who you refuse to love. It's who you say, I can't love that person. That's the problem. That's what the problem was here. So Jacob continued on with this, but I want to tell you that Rachel died a premature death, and Jacob was left with Leah, and it was Leah who became the mother of Judah, from whom our Savior, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, would roar forth. It was Leah. God was using her. You know, beauty isn't everything, people. You know, it's just not. It fades. You know what? Integrity. A woman or a man who fears the Lord, who loves God with all their heart and who is faithful and who is honest. No matter what happens, who is honest. So I've kind of got a breakdown of this story that I want to share with you in four things. Number one, we know Jacob loved Rachel. Number two, Leah loved Jacob. Jacob didn't love her. Jacob loved Rachel. Leah loved Jacob. Rachel loved idols. Get that. But God loved Leah. God didn't forget to love Leah. God's not going to forget to love you. God's not going to forget to use you. Jesus cares about the Leahs of this world. And he knows what it's like to not be beautiful. Did you know that our Lord knows what it's like to not be beautiful? Let me give you my supporting scripture, Isaiah 53 and 2. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty. This is our Lord we're talking about. He had no beauty, physical or majesty, that would attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Did you know that Jesus became like us? He became like us. And he understands how Leah felt. He understood it clearly. But I want to say something to you. The wife that God honored, I'm going to prove my point that God wants you to have one wife. It doesn't matter how he got Leah. Leah was his legal wife. She may not have been the loved wife, but she was most definitely the legal wife. And she was the one that was buried next to Jacob, and God saw her affliction. He sees the injustice that was given to her. And one of the things that happened that I really love in Leah's having children, the Bible says in verse 33, she conceived and she bare a son because the Lord had heard that I was less loved. And so he gave me a son, and I called his name Simeon, meaning God heard. And the other son was God saw. God saw, God heard. And you know what? Leah finally understood. In naming her children, she's getting closer to understanding. Yes, God sees what I'm going through. Yes, God heard my cries. When I was crying at night, nobody else cared. Jacob didn't care. Rachel didn't care. But God heard. God was listening all the time. And, you know, and yet, here's another thing. You know, since we think that, you know, well, Rachel got the better end of the deal. She got the husband. I want to tell you, she didn't want the husband. She loved the idols. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that Rachel loved Jacob. It says Jacob loved Rachel. It never said that Rachel loved Jacob. Rachel loved idols. So Rachel didn't get a very good deal in this either. She didn't really get a choice either. And she was infertile. But can you imagine her story? Because don't we always want what someone else wants? Leah wanted the husband. I want him. I love him. And she didn't have him. And Rachel wanted children. But Leah had children. She didn't have them. You know what? Why can't we be content with the blessings that God gives us? Why do I have to want the blessings Janice or Barb has? Why can't I say thank you for the blessings I get? But Rachel absolutely wanted to have children. And I felt her pain when I was, and I think I've said this to you before, I can picture Rachel, poor little Rachel. She's drop dead gorgeous. This guy loves her. She don't really love him, care much, but he loves her, but she can't have any children. And here she is on a Saturday afternoon sitting at the sixth baby shower for Leah. Leah's having another baby. I wonder what the gender reveal on this one's going to be. You know what? That had to be hard too. Don't we all have a cross to bear in life? And don't we all need Jesus and to trust him in the good and bad situations of our life? You know, God knows our dreams. God knows our plans. He knows our hurts. He knows when our heart hurts. And he wants to move in our life. And so we need to live for him with all of our heart. And when things happen in life, we don't need to blame God. We don't need to blame God. We need to thank him for what we do have. And when someone's going through something, as was the case with Job, stop blaming the victim. You may not know the whole story. You know, a lot of times people come upon a situation, and the proverb says, you need both sides of the story. They hear one side of the story, and they make an unfair judgment. You know what? You don't need to be blaming Job for what he went through. God said he was an upright man. He was going through stuff, and Pastor Ken said it just yesterday when he and I were speaking in the morning. Have you ever considered that it's an attack from the enemy? There are some things we bring upon ourselves, but there are other things that the enemy absolutely swoops in and attacks, and that's what happened with Job. But I want to tell you that God had faith in Job. God has faith in you, and God's going to fulfill all your dreams and all your plans, and I believe he's going to give you vision. And you know, no matter what the enemy throws at you, you are an overcomer. You are not an underachiever. You're not less loved. You are an overcomer. And we're going to ask our praise team to come, Tammy and Willie. And you know what? Sometimes we need to reach out to people that are hurting. Ask God to open your eyes. One reason that I want to have vision is I want to be able to see someone that's hurting, because I don't think I will ever forget when Tammy was working at the Willows, that girl, and she was a waitress, and every time I would go hug Tammy goodbye when I would leave, and for some reason, I just felt like hugging this other waitress, and for a second, I thought, wait a minute, we're not in church. I can't hug just some waitress, some stranger, you know, just because she works with Tammy. But I did it anyway. And she whispered in my ear and she said, I had hoped that you would. And her brother had just been sentenced to prison that day. Wow. That's why I want God to open my eyes, my spiritual eyes. I want, when you go in a room, my husband at the back there, he always says, look around and survey the situation. We were somewhere the other day, and I just told him, I said, there's something not right here. Something is off. We need to have spiritual insight. So I want to tell you, God loves you. He loves you. You are not less than anyone else.